Man. So I have today a whole bunch of things to get to. I hope that you have the spiritual stamina for this. Are you today? I know. I have some other things here that I want to bring out. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want you to be prepared for what's coming up. So realize that there's a bunch of things to be said, and they're important things for us. And really, the energy that it takes to grab a hold of what the Lord wants to say, because we're always in battle. Where the enemy is always going to try to keep us distracted, get us thinking just about ourselves and not seeing a bigger picture, not really grabbing a hold to what God is looking to do. And we want to hear what the Rhema word is for today. And I expect that there's always going to be battle with that. And so we want to be ready for that. And part of the message, really, a lot of the message is talking about spiritual battle. Pretty much everything that Melinda said this morning is, you know, just right on the money, as well as other people. So I hope that you pay attention and really grab a hold of this. I guess we'll. This whole thing about spiritual battle, the church is at the forefront of that. We have an understanding that there is spiritual battle, number one, that there is an enemy, that he has devices that he uses to get his way, to destroy. He's always there to rob, kill, and destroy. That's how Jesus described what Satan was like. So we have to realize that. We have the power. We have the authority. And we need to take it. And we need to be able to discern it right away. And more that's happening. But I think the Lord wants to encourage us today in some particular areas, so that we are ready for everything that God has in his will for us as individuals and for us as a nation. Okay? So this is really an important thing that's going to be covered here. And in Matthew chapter 5... We're going to read something that you've heard before. You know, the church is what has made America great, because the church was at the forefront of everything that was positive, that was leaning on the Lord for direction, came from the church, and the people that were believers were also in places of authority. And this is why I am so happy that Claude was elected. Now, it's not going to be easy for this man. There's lots of junk that's going on. Is that right, Chris? It's not a pretty thing. Politics is messy, and it deals with compromise and with give and take and push and shove, you know. Some of the issues are very interwoven, and you think, well, I'll just do this in this situation, and you find out that, well, what about this other thing that you never even considered before? I mean, it can really grab a hold of your head. And so it's important that Claude brings to this locality the wisdom of God, not his wisdom, not Claude's wisdom, but the wisdom of God. And but people that don't know God have a less of a chance of moving in the wisdom of God, wouldn't you say? So this is why it's good to have Christians step up into places of authority, amen, for the good of everybody. So this is what it says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, how will it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. I would submit to you again that over the last numbers of decades, the church has been trodden underfoot of men. And the reason for that is the church lost its savor. It lost its saltiness. It lost its preserving power. It lost its ability to stand up for truth, for the sake of tolerance, for the sake of, corruption that came into the church, the programs of godless nations that have infiltrated and got into not only the church but into our politics, from communist nations, from other godless places, have really done a number on this society, and the church didn't really stand up the way they needed to. There were some, but the great majority got sidetracked, had their mouths shut. And just so you know, where it talks about losing its taste, losing its savor, it means to become insipid, stupid, and have their mouth shut. That's what that word all wrapped up in the Greek there. That's what it's talking about. And you and I have seen how the world, the political correctness, the world has got us in lots of ways to shut up, to be afraid to speak up, knowing that media and other concerns can twist the meaning of what we're saying and portray us a certain way, and we don't want to be portrayed that way. We don't want to be portrayed as homophobic. We don't want to be portrayed not being progressive enough for the changes in society. All of these things have pushed on the church, and the church has lost some of its savor. Yeah? And so we're getting this for us to realize that it's time to push back. I think the Lord wants us pushing back, getting back involved in the places of authority that we've backed off from over the last numbers of decades. The church really has gotten into its own bubble, own safe little bubble, where we can talk about Jesus things, but we're not inoculating the world the way we need to. I'm just as much a part of all of this as anybody else. You know, I like coming to church, going home, and that's about it. going to college. And, you know, the Lord's been kicking me and I've been not doing too well. But I've got, you know, we've got to wake up to some things.
Malcolm, can I interrupt a second?
Yeah, sure.
You gave a sermon once about the Christian soldier, and this kind of like ties into that. And I kept my mouth shut the last time. This is a quote by President George Washington.
Yes.
Every officer and man should live and act and become a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of this country.
Yes. I agree. I'm going to get to something along those lines, Kelly. So thank you for that as confirmation to what you just said. There's a number of things I have here that I'm going to skip over. But just for reference, if you want to, John 17, verses 15 and 16, talk about how we are to be in the world, but not of it. And what has happened in the church world is that the concept of not being of the world has kept us from participating to bring the gospel to the world in all of its areas, whether it's in whether it's business or education. Think what's happened in the education field. I was a teacher for 40 years, so many of you. And how long ago was it? I think I was still in school when they took prayer out of the school. And there was a little bit of pushback from the churches, but it went through. Because it was a Supreme Court decision, right? And so I want to talk about this, because if that happened all those many years ago, what was it, 62, 1962, I think it was. I think it was 1962, that prayer was taken out of the schools. Look what's happened since then. And now let me tell you some things that are in school. California's proposed ethnic studies curriculum urges students to chant to an Aztec deity of human sacrifice and cannibalism. It calls for the counter-genocide against white Christians. The article's here. I'm not making it up. Unbelievable. Okay, so is the church going to go, oh, gee whiz, I hope that doesn't happen. I'm going to pray. Now, our prayers do something, don't they? But I want to point out to you that some things take more than prayer. Do you hear me? Because it isn't that we pray and then say, well, God, take care of it now. Does God say to you that maybe you need to write a letter to the governor over different things? You see, I think that the church has gotten lazy, has presumed on the sovereignty of God to do nothing. I'll just pray and God, you do. Instead of listening to see if God wants us to co-labor with him in the doing. Do you hear this? We know that we're co-laborers with him. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, if you don't know that, that's where you're going to find that. We labor together with God, it says. That means we need to be hearing and listening and not just assuming that all we do is pray. Because, you know, the power of God is his power. It's not ours. But he does things in this world according to our decisions a lot of times, or doesn't do something. You know, like we've talked about that scripture over there a lot. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves. Oh, so is he going to do it if we don't humble ourselves? He could if he wants to, because he's sovereign. But he's saying something to us, that we have a part in the playing out of God's will in this world. It's not our power, it's his power. We pray. We, like Reggie said, you know, God doesn't have to listen to our prayers, but he does a lot of times. He's sovereign. He does as he pleases. But he does as he pleases lots of times according to the way we make our choices. I want to do all this good stuff for you, but you're not listening to me, so you're not getting the blessing until you turn around. You see? So it's very important for us that as we understand God's sovereignty and his power, that we don't just become a lazy church, unhearing church, that we have nothing to do now. Well, I've prayed. Now it's up to God. Well, there's a truth, there's a half truth to that, but it might be up to God to speak something more to our minds and hearts and give us a burden to do something. Right? And this is in lots of different areas. And one of those areas is politics. And again, I'm so glad that Claude listened to the Spirit of God and he stepped out there. Do you think you just kind of came up with that one day, Claude? Or do you really think that there was a moving on you? Oh. Forget. You might have to turn it on there.
Well, I think the Lord put that on my heart
quite
a while ago.
Yeah.
And just when I retired, the Lord basically said, well, now's the time to
move
forward.
Now's the time. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, God told him. Now, he isn't calling everybody to do that. Thank goodness, right? But he's calling numbers of us to step forward, whether it's politics or maybe it's going to be helping out in a Christian school, or maybe it's going to be something else that God has called you to that is going to make an impact in a particular area of society. Steve, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I was just going to say, as a public educator for 34 years, sometimes you are the lone ranger in the school system.
Yeah.
And that was my case. And one thing the church can do is come alongside these people like Claude and Chris and Amy. Yes. And other people, Heidi, who are involved in education. And sometimes I think the church didn't do that. In fact, I can remember way back, if you thought school was stressful, get involved with church politics.
Yeah.
That was worse. There was no place to go except the Lord. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, amen. Sylvia, after you. Yeah.
I think it's also important. I mean, we may not decide to become involved in local politics, but
right.
As community members, you know, get out and go to the school board meetings.
Yeah.
Go to the town meetings. I mean, this is where you can make a difference, you
yes.
know, when you speak up and talk about things that are presented,
yes.
you know, supporting the school, supporting, you know, the good things for your community. It's shameful, the lack of participation in our town hall meetings and our school boards. I mean, mm-hmm. this is the first time, you know, I went to one of the school boards and I was shocked. There was like 12 people making $1 million decisions.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. So, you know, we have to step up and be a part of our communities, and that's one way we could do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I'll.
You You know, God calls us, you know, we never know where he's going to put us. And this past week, Cheryl and her friend Liz, who is a Christian, Liz had gotten up in the morning and she had read her devotion. And there was a prayer at the end, Lord, use me wherever you want me to be today. Well, they're over in Groveton. And the week before, they had come to St. Vincent's to get a bed frame, and it was too small. So Monday or Wednesday, they decided to go back and get, you know, return it and find something else. So they're going through Berlin, and now she had prayed that prayer. And there was a young woman walking down the street in her pajamas, barefoot, bawling her eyes out, and Cheryl saw her. Well, she said to Liz, oh my gosh, that girl is crying. Liz turned around, which she had never done before, and she went and she talked to the girl, got her in the car, prayed with her, and asked her if she wanted to go to the police department. She said no. The girl told her the life story. They took her to St. Vincent's, bought her shoes, bought her shoes and some pants and a little jacket. And but they ministered to her for quite a while and then brought her to her grandmother's. And I got to tell you, Liz is committed, because God put that on. She knows, and she's been texting her and calling her. And the girl cannot believe that a Christian person stopped and was concerned about her and her life, because she's so broken. So God, between politics and just being obedient when you see there's a need from the, and I'm not going to say little things to big things, because all things are important to God.
Yeah, all things. You're
all
right.
things. So You're step right. out. When God shows you something, step out.
Yeah. Amen. So, amen. This is at the heart of what I'm going to be saying here. It is all about our hearing relationship and being obedient to do what God tells us to do, whether we think it's little or not. And what Sylvia said is absolutely true. Everything that God wants us to do, what he speaks to us, is important, right? It's important for us to step out and be obedient when he puts that nudge in our heart to help that person or to do this thing or to run for an office or whatever it might be. Amen. So I just want to encourage us. The church can't lose its lose that salt. We have to get the saltiness back. And once the salt loses its savor, how can it get it back? Well, we have God, and God can infuse us with a greater understanding and compassion and love for what's going on in the world that goes beyond what our capacity is. Isn't that right? I want us, myself, all of you, that the zeal of the Lord of hosts consume us. It's so easy to fall back away, isn't it? You work real, that spiritual work, you know, you're allowing God to really move in your life. You're reading your Bible. You're worshiping more. You're getting up and doing devotions and you're doing all this stuff. And then something comes along and then you find 3-4 days go by and it isn't quite the way it was, you know, the previous 3 or 4. And we want that all to change, don't we? Because bad things happen in those times where we kind of start to drift. We're not praying as much. We don't know what our prayers are even doing sometimes, right? How much of an effect in the spirit realm that is. And boy, this house is to be a house of prayer. It has to lay on that first. But I really want to point out that's not the only thing, right? All right, now I want you to, just to back that up a little bit, I was going to have you turn someplace else, but I'm going to go back here, so just hold on a second. In Matthew 5, He goes on to talk about, you're the light of the world, right? We're the light of the world. Now, notice what he said, what Jesus says here. That is set on a hill, you're the light of the world. That is set on a hill, it cannot be hid. Do men light a candle and then put it under a bushel? But on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, if we're praying secretly, how do people see this stuff? Because after our prayer, we're listening to God and we're stepping out into what he's telling us to do. And that's what other people are going to see, isn't it? Right? Okay. Now, I want to talk about this one particular thing, because this warfare that we're in to stop us from doing any of this is on all multiple kinds of levels. And one of the levels deals with government. The enemy of our souls has the governments of this world in his grasp. We understand that, right? Look what it says here in Psalm chapter 2. I'm going to read the first two verses. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Another way of saying that is the kings of the earth, the governments of this world, are antichrist. They're against Christ. Every government of this world is that way. What happens when you have a Christian that's in the government? Oh, well, that could change. That could change things somewhat, couldn't it? Yeah. Yes or no? Yes. Would you want to be in a anti-Christian under an anti-Christian authority or under a Christian authority? Is there anybody that has to? Let's see. I got to weigh that out. That's a no-brainer, I would think, right? So it is important in terms of politics, in terms of government, in terms of authority, that our heads are under the right kind of authority if we can have it. Isn't that right? And Claude brought out, excellent word last week, Claude brought out all this, and in Romans 13, you know, we're supposed to submit ourselves to the governing authorities, right? Now, my question that I get when I read that is, what if it's unjust? What if there's people that are unjust that are in authority? So I want to talk about that. Okay. All right. So,
Malcolm, I just want to make one quick point about the Christian and the politics. We want a strong, true Christian in politics.
Yeah, right.
We can't have people that just call themselves Christians, but
correct,
don't follow the biblical beliefs that we say we follow. Either we believe, right? Either the people
believe what they're
saying they believe and follow those, or they don't. And in politics, things can get kind of screwy and you compromise your own beliefs sometimes. So we need a strong Christian that will stand for those beliefs.
Yes.
Not just a Christian, you know.
Correct. Thank you. Yeah. I make those assumptions. It's good to bring that out. And all right. Now, to go along with what Claude was talking about in terms of submitting ourselves to authority, there's some things that we need to understand that go along with what is in the mind of God when he gives those commands. All right. So I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And this gives us some further light in what God is expecting. Okay? Chapter 23, verses 2 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he that rules over men. Talking about government, talking about kings, or rule any other type of ruler, right? He that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. That's God's perspective. He raises up kings and he brings kings down, doesn't he? That's God's business. And I'm going to talk about what his purposes are, because it isn't just to have, it isn't just arbitrary who God allows to rise up into some rulership. And there's reasons, there's more than one reason for this, as you'll see. But that's what God expects. Rulers are supposed to be ruling by the fear of God. And they must. God doesn't say, I hope he's just. Must be just. So there's some qualifications that go along with the expectation that God has when he says that we are to obey all those that are in authority. You see what's going on here? We have to be very careful about this. We can't just be, oh, I'm not going to do it because I just don't like that rule. You understand? And Carl brought this out. You know, we can't just, I don't agree with that, so I'm not going to obey it. I'm going to be talking to you about there's divine law straight from God. There's what is known as natural law. And natural law deals with reason, common sense, okay? And then there's man-made laws. Common sense and reason and wisdom comes from God too, right? If it's godly wisdom. And that's the kind that the Lord's talking about here, isn't it? If you're going to be just, then it has to be by the truth of God, by the wisdom of God, right? And if we have these antichrist rulers, these rulers that are not following any of that, we're in a little bit of a dilemma, aren't we? And the scripture is pretty clear. We're to suffer long through some of that. But there are options within all of that that give us something to do about it. That's what I want to talk about. And I'm going to come from scripture and the law, because we as Christians are supposed to obey the law in that sense, right? So what does the law in our country actually say? And I'm going to bring that out so that you can know that there are things that you and I can do that can bring about a change to to unjust laws. Okay? Scripturally and legally. Okay? So God wants these rulers to be, and I'm saying this to you so that you know that if somebody comes and says, well, you're a Christian, what are you doing this for? That you have an answer to be able to give to them. You want to be able to have an answer for the hope that's within you. Because I'll tell you, the enemy of our soul is tricky and twists things, and he makes it so that it's like, well, how do I answer that? You know, well, I want you to have some answers, you know, scripturally first, but also that you know that there by the law of this land, you and I have plenty of ways to turn something around. Okay, and we're going to talk about that too. So I hope you're ready for this. And if you think that has no place in this in a church setting, you're wrong. Because the scripture is real clear. I'm going to get to those scriptures. Okay? All right, so let's get that thought out of your mind. Well, put it on a shelf anyway, if you are thinking it. Put it on a shelf for a little bit. You can grab it back if you want to. Okay. So let's go to, we're going to look at our God-given rights. Our rights, okay, that God gives us. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. I think that Claude mentioned this one last week. And it says this, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Hey, hello? Okay, 29. Acts 5, 29. God says, obey him rather than men. Yeah. In Job, I think it's 4:17, somewhere around there. In Job, it says that are man's laws better than God's? Huh? Anybody want to say yes to that? Nobody's going to say yes to that either. So of course we're going to obey the laws of God over the laws of man if there's some kind of a conflict, thank you. Right? When we talk about, you know, like the abortion issue, right? There's a definite conflict there. So what are we gonna do? And then what do we do about that? Right? Throwing that out for you to be thinking about too. Because the enemy's getting way more aggressive. I cannot believe how out there and obvious the enemy is in what they're doing. You know, you open up a little bit on the transgender issue, and now men who think of themselves as women can go into women's locker rooms and play on women's sports. Go into bathrooms? What? There's nobody probably in here that would have ever thought that would have ever happened 10 years ago. Oh, no, that would never happen. Oh, no, they just want their little freedom here to be able to, you know, they want to be accepted for and lots of people will take that little. OK, well, you know, and you do that and then they want more. The original abortion stuff. Only in the case of rape and incest or whatever it was. Very, very thin margin. Now look at it. Right up until the time of birth. What the heck has happened from 1972 until now? Because they chip away at it little by little. Open the door a little bit. You know this about God, you know, how the enemy is going to take the things of God and our compassion and our desire to, you know, and open up to the evil just that much. And the enemy comes in like a flood. And he'll do it in steps. But look at history. In all the areas where we go, well, what's the harm in opening up? You look at any of the social issues that we have today. It started out just a little bit. Just a little bit. Come on. What would be wrong with that? Right? You see? And then the church goes, yeah. All right, let me back up a little bit. Okay. So the church needs to come out of this. We need to come out of this, don't we? We don't have to be, lunatics. Because it is going to take the love of God to reach out to people that are caught in all this darkness. And it's darkness. So we ought to obey God rather than men. So Proverbs 12:6, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. You know, if we're not speaking, writing, communicating in whatever ways, then how's anybody going to get delivered? Because they're not going to hear what is really true, right? That's 12:6. So stay in Proverbs 12, and verse 24 says this. The hand of the diligent, or another word for diligent is determined. The hand of the determined will bear rule, but the slothful shall be put under tribute. What's slothful? Lazy. I don't want to be bothered. Apathetic. Who cares? I don't have time to get involved. Yeah. And you know what happens to the slothful? They get put under tribute. What's that mean? You got to pay. You're going to pay for that. You and I will pay for that. What's going on in our country right now? We're paying for decades of stepping back and allowing the enemy to take full reign over our education system, over our businesses, over every aspect of our existence. Everything, the music, entertainment industry, everything. Because we don't want to be bothered. Just think about how sometimes our prayers even. Well, I know I should pray. Well, and you say this real quick prayer. Okay, I got my prayers out of the way. Now I can go do what I want to do. Right? Slothful. Spiritually slothful. And we all can point at ourselves in some way or another here, can't we? God's cleaning us all up. This is to encourage us and awaken us. There's a great awakening that is really happening in this country. With all the junk and the darkness that's been coming in, there's still in the heart of people a desire to break out of this, right? And it's going to take, like Kelly said, spiritual soldiers Okay. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. So when we give way, when we fall down, we bow down to evil, to a wicked person, to a wicked concept. Okay, I don't want to deal with that. Okay, just let them go. It's too much. I don't know what to do. There's all kinds of things that can come into our minds, and we give way to the wicked. And that's been happening for decades, decades. And it gets so entrenched, and we go, how are we ever gonna get this thing changed around? And we look at it and we think in our minds, and the enemy helps us there and says, you're never gonna fix it. America's doomed. I wanna say BS to that. Where there is God, there is hope. Where there is God is the Spirit of God. And when things are overwhelming, we raise up the standard. And that standard breaks the yoke. You and I have to believe that. Or else let's just crawl in a hole and you know. No. If we're going to live in this country, then we need to be the soldiers of Christ, and at least let's go down swinging. Yes. To the death. Well, and maybe we'll have to, you know. What's that? Well, that might be, but as fast as things are going, I'll tell you, as fast as things are going, I think we might all be around to see some of these things. All right, Proverbs 17:15 says this. He that justifies the wicked, he that justifies the wicked, and he that condemns the just, even both of them are an abomination to the Lord. Yeah, let's just go along. Who cares? You know, let them, you know. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 11. Would somebody read that, please? Ephesians 5, 8 to 11.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Would you say those last words again? What?
Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Expose them. Oh, you mean bring it out into the light? Oh, wow. And who's telling us to do that? The Lord is. It's his scripture, isn't it? Now, there's ways to do it and time and timing that's involved. We're not supposed to be stupidos about it. We have to be led by the Spirit. It has to be done in love. There's all kinds of other things we're talking about here, and that's another message. That's something else. Okay, almost done here. Proverbs chapter 28. Do you see that there are things that we can do? Here, there are things scripturally that we should be doing. We're to stand up against the wicked. We're not to be lazy in the way that we come at situations, right? We're supposed to speak up. We're not supposed to go along and tolerate. We do our best. Some things are not going to probably get resolved, but at least we're going to stand in the right, in the gap, right? And I know this gets to be, you know, we don't want to be thought of a certain way, you know? We want to just go along to get along. That's in all of our hearts. You know, let's not ruffle up anything here. And yet the scriptures, I'm reading you the scripture, what we should be doing, right? When it comes to evil, we shouldn't be tolerating it. Not in ourselves, for sure. And when we see things as we're guided by the Spirit of God, then we even at some point need to expose that, bring it out into the light. This is wrong, what's happening in our country in these particular areas. I mean, oh my gosh, you know, the prayer in schools were taken out, abortion, all the whole sexual orientation mess, the entertainment industry, how they've dumbed down our schools. Let me see. I showed you the California curriculum, the critical race theory now that's trying to change the way our history is taught, you know? And we just go, this is wrong, man. But that's all we do. We need to get out there. We need to gird the loins of our mind, the creative part of our mind, and ask, well, what can we do as Christian individuals, as Christian churches, to make an impact, to push back here? We've got to start doing this, or we're going to be even more overwhelmed with a society that's anti-Christ. Yeah? God's calling us to action. I'm sorry, you know, but that's what he's doing. Revelation 2. Oh, did I say Ephesians 5? Proverbs 28. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Ephesians 5 was right before that. Okay, so Proverbs 28:4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, what do they do? Resist them. Version says contend with them. Oh, so we're to contend? When something is wrong in society, where there's oppression, where there's harm that's being brought onto people, that should we contend against that? Sure, we should, in the proper way, right? This is scriptural that we should do these things. We have the right, we have the duty as Christians to stand in the gap. Okay? All right, now. And then I'm one last scripture here, and then I'm going to get to the next thing. Revelation 2, verse 2. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you can't bear them which are evil. And that means they can't endure them. They can't sustain what they're doing. And that word there means with the purpose to remove the evil. Not only, oh, I can't take this anymore. Have you said that recently? I can't take this anymore. This is ridiculous. What's going on here? I can't take this. You know, that's this thing about can't bear the evil, but actually means another step to the point where you're looking to remove it. That means there's some action going on. It isn't just that you have a feeling that you don't like it. There's something where you're actually doing something in whatever you can to push against it, right? I know, we want to just talk about nice things. But okay, now, where to follow the law? Let me give you some things that we can do that is within the law of this nation, right? Where to follow the law. And that's very clear, you know. Claude brought it out last week with in the Romans 13 thing. So here are things that are within our legal rights. Okay? Good thing we have the Constitution, huh? We have the right to nonviolent civil disobedience. That's within our rights. Right? Do you understand that? We have the right. Peaceful protesting. Yeah, right. We have the right to non-cooperation against illegitimate laws. One of our first Supreme Court justices, Chief Justice John Marshall, said that if there is a law that's passed and it goes against the Constitution, it's not a law. So you don't have to obey a law that is unconstitutional. So we have that. Our founding fathers, writing the Constitution, vested the power in who? The people. The people. We have final authority, and yet we think that we have no power at all because what the politicians do, they have they control things, and if they make these laws, oh my gosh, it's all over with. We just have to obey. No. We can do all of these things that I'm talking to you about right now. And we're not breaking the law. Just want you to know that there are things that we can do. We want to obey the law as much as we can. But when there's illegitimate law, especially if there's unconstitutional law, we don't have to. We can push against it. You understand? Nonviolent, pushing against. We have, that's the law of the land. We can do this, right? We have the right to an individual conscience. We have the right to due process under the law. We have the right to petition. We have the right to peaceably assemble, which kind of goes up with the civil disobedience thing. We have the right to vote. We can get people out as long as there's no fraud going on. So I just wanted two other things I want to make sure we understand. The purpose of God in setting up rulers. Well, God sets up who he wants and he pulls down who he wants, right? We understand that. And he brings people in. Lots of times it's because he wants to have a good ruler ruling in a nation. But you know what? If a people are lazy, not following the Lord, he might decide, I'm going to allow one of these dirty, rotten guys to take over. What's his purpose there? Is it to punish us, or is it to get us to see that we need to come back to God and be listening more to him and changing our ways and humbling ourselves, and then he'll turn things around again. Sometimes we get bad rulers because there's something for us to learn in it, where maybe we've been too lazy as Christians in the realm of politics or the realm of social issues or other things. And so he wants us to see the bad, how low we society can go outside of his constraints. And when we're sick of it enough, maybe we'll change. And when that point happens, God intervenes. When we cry out to him and we humble ourselves before him and say, I've got to change here, God. This is my fault. It's me. I need to learn something here. I need to be more involved with other people. I need to do this or I need to do that. And I haven't really been listening to you because I have my own little program and, you're going to intervene in my life and I don't want that to happen. That's what happens, isn't it? Well, we're not condemning. We're not being self-condemning here. We're just saying, hey, we've got to change here. Right? We got to grow up in him. Talked about that. We need to grow up into Christ. We do, don't we? So he tests the heart of the people. Let's just look at the scripture I had there. Somebody read Psalm 7, verse 9. Who has the mic? Who has the mic? Claude, you want to read it? Okay. Psalm 7, verse 9.
This is NIV.
Yep.
Let the assembled peoples gather around you. Rule over them from on high.
Psalm 7, verse 9.
Oh, sorry. I'll try that again. O righteous God, who searches minds and hearts, bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure.
Yeah, isn't it? All right, and now finally, I've alluded to this last thing about the whole thing about Christian example, we as Christians need to obey the laws of God, the natural law, and any of the legitimately man-made laws. Well, we have to be a good example to society, right? But there's another thing too, and that is to be an example that when something is wrong, that we expose it for being wrong, right? That we resist illegitimate law. That's being a good example. Do you see that? That's not a bad example. Maybe some of us might end up going to jail for something. Who knows?
Hey, but Malcolm?
I think every one of the apostles went to jail for something.
Malcolm?
Yeah, go ahead.
You forgot one of our most basic rights. And it's the Declaration of Independence says that we not only have the right, but we also have the duty to alter or abolish any government that does not secure our unalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I would agree 100% with what you just said. Absolutely.
There is no difference between an unjust government and a thief. Just like we are right to fight off a thief, we are also right to fight off an oppressive government.
Yep. I would agree with you there. Thank you, Kelly. I missed a couple of things that I had written down, but historically, there's been in the Christian church There's a thing called the doctrine of lesser magistrates. I think maybe a year or two ago I mentioned it. It's in the Magdeburg Confession of the Lutheran Church. And they using some of the scriptures I have here, but numbers of others, they lay out when it is right for a Christian to disobey a law, man-made law. So that's historically been used. And in fact, John MacArthur used the doctrine of lesser magistrates in his reason why he was going to keep his church open in California here just a few months ago. So, and John MacArthur was a Romans 13 guy. It's settled. That's just the way it is. But he's come to see that there's other things that play into that. And that's important for us to realize that there are the right avenues of resisting that we've been given as citizens of this country. And, you know, there's a time for every purpose under the heaven, Ecclesiastes tells us. There's a time for every purpose. When you said that, Reggie, I looked to Kathy and I pointed to this, my last scripture here. There's a time for everything. Time for everything. There's when it's God's time for something to happen, then it's going to happen, right? And we have to be open to that. Our founding fathers wanted a peaceful resolution to things, but they didn't get it. And they were forced to fight for their God-given rights. And they did that. So, I mean, even war. God doesn't close that door. We don't want that at all. But I want you to know that things are... The world system we're in is anti-Christ, and it's ruthless, and it wants to kill. It wants to destroy the church, for sure. We have to realize how to battle in this spiritual battle, because it is spiritual, isn't it? It's a spiritual battle. We're going to win it in the realm of the spirit, right? And when we're praying like we've never prayed before, and listening and doing as God tells us to do in the physical, we are going to see some breakthrough after breakthrough. Because I am convinced that we're going to see a revival in this nation. Amen. But that's only going to come if we do what God tells us to do. We're back to the if thing. So we need to step up our prayer life, our belief that God's going to do what needs to be done, to see injustice, the things that are going on in this world, the child trafficking. Yeah, do you know to the degree that is in this world? It is unbelievable. You know what I read? I read just yesterday, I think, Chris, that the cartel people that are bringing these kids across the border, they're selling these children at the border to people that want to use them. $3,200. You have that, you can buy a kid. This is gruesome stuff. And I don't know. I read that the other day, and something inside of me, oh my gosh, you know, but that has, and instead of it being angry, I mean, we have to pray for our leaders to get turned around. There's another thing that we should be doing. praying for Biden and Harris and these people that are moving the levers of power, that they get convicted. Now, I don't know if they will or not, but we have a responsibility to pray for that. Yeah, pray for their salvation. Who knows what might end up happening if there's enough of prayer going on, or for things if they're totally given over, that God will change the leadership. He can do that, can he? He can do it because he's God, right? Well, hallelujah. I think I'm basically done right now.